Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
Cavs a podcast.
Oh, you're gonna do it? Jeez.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, it's you.
This has been happening all night.
It's your bag, dog.
No, this has been happening all night. You and I are like the same person. Welcome to Cavs the podcast, or the podcast. We're gonna recap the first round of the NBA draft as we, out of one eye, watched the round two to see if the Cavs trade or slash buy their way back into the second round. I don't expect they will. I know they.
Well, they can. The problem is they cannot complete the trade until the new salary cap takes effect, because I've already sent out the maximum amount of money to buy a pick that they can in a year.
Ah. Okay.
So that will be in a few days. So, and.
So it'd be somebody picking for them, and then they would just get the player.
And who knows if it would be reported tonight. So
Right. So. Well, I mean, as far as how things could have gone tonight, I would say that this is a positive evening for
I'm thrilled.
Yeah, I mean, look, there were a lot of potential pitfalls and potholes that the Cavs avoided with some of the guys that were kind of up and down the lottery there. And yeah, I mean, look, I really enjoyed watching Sexton play I don't watch a lot of college basketball, but he really struck me as a guy that stood out for his energy and just sort of desire to win.
Yeah.
And you know, and there were a lot of guys that that didn't have those kind of qualities in the first round, and I was just really hoping they weren't gonna get suckered into swinging for Porter Jr. just because you know, the back's never anything you want to make.
Man, and he dropped like a stone. What, all the way to 15?
14 to Denver, yeah.
Yeah, the last pick of the lottery.
Yep, almost out of the lottery.
And
he
actually,
dropped as far as Robert Williams did, but...
I think that's a great situation for the player and the team.
Yeah.
Like, Denver is good enough that they don't need him to be great right now.
Oh, yeah. No, he can replace Millsap when Millsap is ready to move out.
Yeah. Well, and then the other part of that being that, yeah, that team is a borderline playoff team out west, and they don't need him. Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I'm just vamping and saying the same thing I just did. But
that's okay.
Yeah. No, I like
so
that.
So you're happy with Colin Sexton.
I am happy with Colin Sexton. He's a super polarizing pick on kind of among people who follow the draft and people who a lot of Cavs Twitter. My personal take on the pick is I'm a little baffled by the dislike for the pick because he quote unquote can't shoot. There's a lot of guys that come out that can't shoot. But by all accounts, he's going to be a guy that puts in the work to develop that part of his game. The other issue with that being these guys aren't fully formed. I mean, there's nobody you're getting in the top 12 picks that are going to help you next year, except maybe Luka Doncic. You know,
right.
none of these guys are mature enough to be good at winning NBA basketball games as a rookie. There's maybe one or two of those guys in every draft, and last year it was Donovan Mitchell. And but the other thing is I wanted the Cavs to go high on character, high on work ethic, high on IQ, and then the speed and the athleticism, I think, are off the charts for him. So, you know, he can certainly develop into that player. I mean, look at who Russell Westbrook was when he came out of UCLA.
Sure.
You know.
He couldn't really shoot either. Well, yeah. And that's just
still it. Can't, but...
I mean, he's certainly better than he was. But
right.
I think that... I guess I was surprised, too, because... Honestly, there's so many other guys that I felt were more polarizing than Sexton. Sexton, if anything, Sexton actually felt like a really safe pick to me
at
8. Because you know the kind of guy you're getting from a character, energy, I think somebody said he doesn't finish all that well, but I don't think that's true. I actually think I read somewhere that he's really good at the rim.
Well, numbers-wise, he wasn't great, but, you know, a lot of that all has to do with context, so...
Right. But, like, I mean,
think a lot
remember,
of that is in the half-court versus the full-court, so...
Yeah, but I just look at that... What was that game that he scored 40 points?
Right.
Going basically 3-on-5 against Minnesota back in whenever it was, January or February, Like, that's impressive. Stuff like that stands out because there's a guy that there's so many guys on this team not named LeBron, and sometimes named LeBron last year throughout the regular season and even in the playoffs, although less so LeBron in the playoffs, that you just look at and you're like, why are they not trying? Like, what are they waiting for? Why are they scared? Right? Like, Larry Nance Jr., one of the things I really like about him is that he's got that motor and that energy. He doesn't always make the best play or, makes some careless fouls. But usually Nance is out there trying his ass off. And say what you will about Kevin Love, but, typically Kevin Love is working hard on the floor, you know. So, I mean, even Tristan, like, that was the best qualities of Tristan is when he's locked in and rebounding offensively and motoring. So, it would drive me crazy watching guys that clearly weren't giving 100% either because they didn't care, they were scared. I don't know what it was, but, and a lot of the new guys just didn't know their place, really. But
right.
I like the idea of a guy. And by the way, Sexton is a good pick regardless of what LeBron does.
Right.
Because even if LeBron stays, I think he's going to love the kid. I mean, all the word out of his camp was that they really liked him. We didn't hear that directly from LeBron himself, but, and who knows? Maybe that's the old Shabazz Napier trick, but
yeah.
I feel like that's he'll be a good asset to have alongside LeBron, and if LeBron decides to go somewhere else, then... I think he's a really talented young point guard that you can start building a team around.
Yeah, and FYI, Shabazz Napier is a pretty good player, right? You know, he's had two really good seasons as a backup point guard in a row. It's not like the guy's just fallen out of the league. You know,
not with the team that drafted him, though.
No, but. He's made himself into an NBA player that is a rotation player on a player on
that's
a.
That's sort of my point. Like,
yeah, I know.
You know, the Heat only drafted him because LeBron said, "I like that guy."
Yeah. So you're awfully quiet over there, Eli.
Yeah, I'm just soaking in the vast knowledge from you two. I actually like the pick, considering the way the board shook out, and I was just terrified they're going to take that kid from Kentucky, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yeah.
I was just terrified that was going to be the pick, but
giant head on a tiny little body.
Even though he said he warned Cleveland not to take him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think just the way the board panned out, and obviously with Porter's medical obviously being probably a lot worse, or at least that's the opinion it seems with him dropping so far. I think that was the right pick, and like you said, I really like how, in a way, he's not like a finished product by any means, but I think his floor is pretty high because of the great physical tools he has and the experience of running point for an NBA coach in Avery Johnson. So I think overall it was a good pick, solid pick. And like you said, if LeBron stays or goes, he still fits as a solid point guard and ball handler.
Yeah. And at least in the NBA, Avery Johnson never ran a NBA or an offense I loved. His offense was a lot of isolation, which may be why you see that, you know, a lot of people say doesn't have great vision, doesn't have, you know, great instincts as a passer. But, you know, he's in an offense run by Avery Johnson, and Avery Johnson was never, as a coach, the guy that developed those kind of players. I mean, Avery Johnson was coached when they let Steve Nash go to Phoenix, so.
Yeah. Well, I just kind of go back to, there was a lot of people that seemed to really like the idea of the Cavs finding a way to get Patrick Beverley before he got injured last year, and yeah. They just drafted him. You know what I mean? A better version of Patrick Beverley, in my opinion. So,
yeah, and almost like Patrick Beverley and John Wall had a baby. Like, he's that fast.
Yeah.
Had a baby. But, yeah, he's that fast. I mean, multiple people calling him one of the fastest players they've ever seen. So that certainly can help. And the Cavs need that, because the Cavs have no one right now, unless LeBron is feeling it, that pushes the ball.
Yeah.
So,
well, George Hill certainly doesn't.
No, exactly.
I've seen Clarkson
Jose do Calderon.
It, but, yeah,
exactly.
Jose. Clarkson can do it, but usually like in a straight line, and he won't pass it to anybody. So.
Well, yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, look, the only other guy I would have been like excited about that was available when they picked was Mikal Bridges. And man, yeah. Did he get a raw deal tonight.
Oh, he got hosed. And did you hear the whole reasoning behind it? Or the supposed reasoning behind it?
No.
So basically it was to save $1 million in the almighty pursuit of LeBron.
Yeah.
They also got a first round pick too, so.
Well, yeah, but
2020.
Well, and maybe they can use that to try to get Kawhi in the building, but
I just don't get it. I mean, to me, it's...
Bridges seem to fit that team perfectly.
Plus, his mom works for the team.
Well, yeah.
And then you draft him and trade him like 10 minutes later. It's like...
Well, and how about tell the kid before he's in front of the media, you know? And maybe it just came up. Who knows? But, like, it was just a really bad look.
Yeah, it's a very bad look. As I tweeted, this would never happen if Colangelo's burner accounts were still running the team. So...
Yeah, if anybody was running the team, that's why you shouldn't go into a draft with no GM.
Yeah, that just seems like a really... Well, and to me, like, they're at the point in their development that they've got so many young players. Do they need more draft picks? You know, they need more mid-level draft picks?
Only to get vets, only to get experienced players, really.
Well, yeah, but the other side of that is, like, Mikal Bridges fits what they need from a player like a glove. You know, he can play three positions.
Yeah.
Theoretically, they desperately need catch and shoot shooting.
Yep. and cheap catch and shoot shooting,
right.
Instead of like guys like Bellinelli and Ilyasova will probably command more, right?
Right. Exactly. I mean,
or what's his name, JJ Redick.
Yeah. It just made no sense to me.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
Eli, you were a little bit disappointed tonight.
Yeah, I really thought we were going to get Kemba Walker, Paul George, and Kawhi Leonard tonight. Wasn't that the plan?
So one of the things I'm a little confused on, and I've heard that the Cavs can trade their pick after they trade it, or after they draft it, but before it's signed.
Yeah.
And that they can't do that. So
no, they can do that.
Okay. So they don't have to wait 30 days.
No, only if they signed him.
So my thought, Eli, is that none of that stuff's going to unfold until LeBron figures out what he's doing. And I don't think he's giving them any... I mean, LeBron has to opt in. If the Cavs are trading LeBron, like if LeBron wants to go to Houston, he has to opt in. Because it's the only way it's going to work.
Yeah, so I guess that'd be what, June 29th, we'll know if he's going to opt in or not, and then that's when the real fun begins in NBA.
Yeah, and if he's not opting in, it's pretty much Cleveland, Philly, or L.A. And I mean, I could guess I could see him going to Philly, but boy, that just seems like a mercenary move. You know what I mean?
I don't think he's going to Philly.
Yeah, no, and
I think it's honestly, I think at this point it's kind of down to Cleveland and L.A.
Yeah, and I think the Spurs do not. I think the Spurs want to salt the earth for L.A. I don't think they want. I don't think they are going to even talk about moving Kawhi until, you know, maybe August. Like, they don't want to give any team in the West any ammunition for building a super team.
Yeah.
They just seem like they're dragging their feet like crazy, which Spurs, good for them.
The Spurs, by the way, I think would be the team, like, I know I was teasing about Windhorse, you know, article comparing the Cavs and the Spurs, you know, with how
Cavs
handled Kyrie, and now they've got to deal with this, where they finally, you know, it's not like LaMarcus, where, you know, Pop just sat down and talked him out of it. Now it's, I mean, clearly Kawhi doesn't even want to meet with Pop. So it's the kind of thing, though, that I could see the Spurs as an organization just saying, all right, fine, sit out. We didn't need you last year. Sit out. We don't care.
Yeah, exactly. No, I could see it, too, and then if he does sit out, then you basically you could actually sue the guy for breach of contract.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, do you think that training in LA about tampering has anything to do with what's going on with Kawhi Leonard? Because I sure do.
Yeah.
So yeah, in case you missed it, LA had the Lakers had a organization-wide anti-tampering meeting or training session, and to me it looks like they're covering their butts over something. Yeah. So I would not be shocked if LA is in, you know, Kawhi's uncle's ear or whatever is going on all the time.
Yeah. I could see them trading him to the Clippers out of spite.
Yeah, I totally could too.
And the Clippers just picked up a couple of good young wings in the draft.
I really, and you know, in a bit, I do want to kind of maybe when the second round is over, we'll go through and do some draft grades. But I really, I like the Clippers draft a lot. I thought a lot of teams really did a nice job.
Yeah, it was kind of shocking, actually, how many teams really kind of did nice work for themselves.
Yeah, I thought the, like we talked about, the Sixers trade made no sense. Like they got Zahir Smith. How does that guy fit on that team? Like, he's another athlete who can't shoot. Do they need that? That's the last thing they need at this point, to me.
Yeah, I'm a little confused also by the Bulls taking Wendell Carter and the Orlando Magic taking Bamba, because they already have like a glut of bigs, so, and they don't have shooting, so it's a little.
Well, I mean, I think Orlando's probably going to get rid of both of the other big guys.
Well, if they can't, Vucevic they can move. I'm not sure they can move Dasana Job.
It's not just, no, it's not him. It's
or not
Biyombo.
Bismack Biyombo, sorry. I'm not sure that they can move
Dick Scott.
Yeah. So did you see my post about Junior, who my Junior for Memphis?
Yeah, Jaren Jackson.
Jaren Jackson Jr. Did you see my post about that, EG?
No.
So my post, my wife goes, I go to my wife, I was like, yeah, Jaren Jackson Jr., his dad won a ring in 99 for the Spurs. And she's like, oh, what's his name? I was like, Jaren Jackson. So, Jackson. Yeah, that was the highlight of my draft evening.
Yeah, that's funny.
And she was like, oh, I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention. Which I give her credit. She was like, we got about, after the Cavs drafted, she was like, so when are they drafting? And I was like, oh, they're done. Really? And I was like, yeah, they traded away all their other picks.
It's not like I'm the going old to days. Bed. Yeah, it's not like the old days where they get, you know, two or three picks in the draft.
Yeah. Yeah, Mark Price was a second rounder.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there was actually, they had three or four rounds of the draft at one point.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah, and they had so many fewer teams, too. It's nuts. But yeah, this draft is deep. I mean, the kid from Ohio State, speaking of Jop, that's why I was thinking of Jop, because his name was up there.
Oh, has he gone yet?
No, he's still on the board, or at least last I looked, which was about 2 minutes ago. But yeah, I mean, it's a really deep draft. Supposedly, Boston got that Walker kid, who supposedly has lottery talent at the 27th pick or whatever. But then when you looked, he's like, oh, he shoots 43% from three, and he was 2 for 30 from, or 47% at the line and 2 for 30 from three on the year. And it's like, if you're that bad of a shooter, why are you shooting 33s?
Yeah.
My favorite quote of the night was somebody said he was the best lob target in the draft. Fran Fraschilla said he was the best lob target in the draft. Then he said he only rolled 10 times all year. It's like, how can both those
maybe
things be true?
Maybe he was 10 for
10. Maybe he was. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, that, here's the thing. He felt that Williams fell a long way, but that's actually a great situation for him in Boston because they're not going to need him to score. All they're really going to need him to do is stand into the hoop and rebound and block shots.
Yeah.
He's going to be Aaron Baines, but on a rookie contract. That's basically what I think they want him for.
Yeah. No,
although
it's,
Aaron
again,
Baines,
a really good situation for him.
Aaron Baines is a good offensive player because he's such a good screen setter. So you can actually
have
him.
He's not a good
him.
Shooter, though.
No, but he's a good roller and finisher, and he knows where to be, and he's a really good screen setter. Like, you can have him on the floor, and
how
he helps your offense.
How many picks do the Nets have? Do they have, like, they have like 14 second-round picks?
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
They just took Hamidou Diallo.
Actually, I like that pick, but so, the Nets have a lot of guys that might be interesting on the Cavs.
You mean former Cavs that might be interested on the Cavs?
No, the Nets. Like, so yeah, they've the got...
Yeah, like Joe... what's his name?
Joe Harris.
Yeah.
Yeah, so no, but, Joe. I mean, Brooklyn has... They've got a lot of guys on weird contracts. Like, now they have Dwight Howard.
Well, they're buying him out, though. They already committed.
Yeah,
that.
But that's so
but they
great.
They just drafted, like, half the Latvian team tonight.
Yeah. Like, but they have guys that Jeremy Lin.
They weren't being... I thought they didn't have that Russian owner anymore, or do they?
They do, but he owns a majority, but barely a majority. Like, they still have that owner, but he's basically looking to cash out at some point in the next few years.
Hmm.
Is it? And they've got Spencer Dinwiddie and Damari Carroll and Alan Crabb, and all three of those as role players might make some sense for the Cavs. But yeah, again, we don't know what's going on with the Cavs, and I don't think anybody at this point, like on your LeBronometer, where are you at, EG?
Well, I've said he's staying from the beginning. I'm just going to stick to that until.
Okay, Eli, where are you at on your LeBronometer?
Man, I think he's going to leave.
Where do you think he's going?
I think he's going to the Lakers. I think his family loves that lifestyle. And I think he's really going to try to build his brand and, you know, activism movement. And I think that's where it fits most. Mm. So I think it's not really a basketball move, but I think he won't go there alone. I think at the minimum, Paul George will have to go with him this year, but...
See, that's the problem I see is I don't think Paul George... I think Paul George has an agreement with the Thunder.
Really? I don't know.
See,
he's got a lot of traction lately.
Yeah, and I don't think that trade happens last year, unless Paul George gives him I'll sign at least one more year after I get here.
Yeah.
So the whole thing I'm hearing is a 1+1 for Paul George.
Right.
And to me, that seems like, I don't think Paul George is going this year. I just my gut. And I don't think that San Antonio is going to give the Lakers any did you hear the report today that basically San Antonio hung up the phone when the Lakers called him? Oh, yeah.
They're not trading him to the Lakers.
Yeah, or at least not without exacting the iron price.
Which I don't think Magic will do.
Yeah. So, yeah, so I just don't think it's going to shake out in the West. I don't think... Do you think there's any possibility he goes to Houston, Eli?
No. Oh.
Well, I know you don't think there is.
I don't think so, because I think he will... I mean, LeBron's going to be sensitive about his legacy, and I think a lot of people would slay him for going to Houston and be... I mean, that'd be like the ultimate mercenary move, I think.
Yeah.
I just don't think they can make it work. There's no financial way that they can make it work without the top two guys on the players, you know, the top two officers in the players association
taking pay cuts,
basically being complete hypocrites and taking a cut after they've extolled people to take the max for years now.
Yeah, well, and the other side of that
doesn't make any sense to me.
They don't have the assets to sell Ryan Anderson to somebody.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I don't think. There's two things that will happen. One of these two things will happen.
Oh my God! Are you watching the TV right now?
I gotta change the channel.
Do you see Steph Curry with a headset talking to some like startup company? Is this not the most insufferable image you've ever seen in your life?
Yeah, I mean it's total Steph. I loved how the fans there. Like gave the anything Warriors like a good L level booing.
Yes, that was just fun.
Awesome. And granted, it's New York or Brooklyn, so it was bound to happen anyways. But still, it's just great to hear.
And did they draft that they all booed?
Oh, the Knicks. They booed Kevin Knox.
Yeah,
which I don't blame them. I would have taken Mikal Bridges right there if I was the Knicks. But whatever.
Yeah.
But no, what was I saying? No, the Houston thing. Here's one of two things is going to happen with Paul George in Houston. Because I'm sure that when they made the deal
Paul for George Paul, or Chris
not
Paul?
Not Paul George, Chris Paul. When they made the deal for Chris Paul last year, when he did the whole opt-in and trade, I guarantee you there was a conversation with Daryl Morey or whomever off the record where they're like, Chris, we're going to take care of you next year. We're going to give you the max and it's going to be all good. So Chris Paul's either getting the max from Houston, in which case LeBron's not going there, or Chris Paul's going to bolt and go somewhere else because they're wishy-washy about giving him the max.
Yeah. Well, so the one way I could see LeBron ending up in L.A. is with Chris Paul, but I don't think LeBron and Chris Paul in L.A. with the team that they have is enough to do anything.
No, because Chris Paul's always injured in the playoffs.
Yeah, and always. LeBron knows that. LeBron's no dummy.
And the Lakers core isn't that good.
Right.
No.
But the one thing about the Chris Paul thing that I think isn't getting reported is he might have had that wink-wink agreement, but the ownership did change. So this owner might come in and be like, hey, I know Leslie Alexander said he'd give you that 5-year deal. No questions asked, but I'm not going to do that.
Then he'll opt out and bolt. He'll opt out and go somewhere else that will give him the max. And I guarantee you there'll be a place that will.
The one thing that's goofy to me about that, though, is why didn't he just sign an extension? I was really surprised he didn't sign an extension, especially with as often as he is injured. But
I don't know.
I don't know either. Guys like to bet on themselves. So.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's no question that Houston was great when he and Harden were on the floor, and I still believe they probably they had at least a 50-50 shot of taking down the Warriors if he doesn't get injured.
Yeah. Well, I don't know 50-50, but they had certainly...
They were up 3-2.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, I agree with you. Yeah, sorry, I was...
No, that's okay. I'm saying, like, I think, yeah, it probably still goes to Game 7. I don't think Houston loses a Game 7 at home if Chris Paul's healthy.
I agree with you. Well, they certainly don't miss 27 threes in a row.
No.
Which
because
is the
Chris
most
Paul would start taking mid-rangers.
Yeah. Well, and that is the most shocking thing about this Golden State Championship is just how underplayed that Houston series is. Like, how badly Houston choked in that series.
A sweep is the best deodorant for a tricky series. Look at the Cavs with the between the Pacers and the
absolutely
Raptors. Like,
yeah,
how night and day was that, right? Like, oh, the Cavs are maybe not going to make it out of the first round, and blah blah blah, and then all of a sudden they sweep the Raptors, and it's like it never happened.
So Kata Bates Diop just went to the Wolves from Ohio State.
Oh, good, he can replace Wiggins.
Yeah, you know what? I could actually see that being that might not be far from what they're trying to do, but I don't think they can move Wiggins.
No, not with that contract. I don't know why they offered him that contract.
Because they felt like he had to, or he'd leave.
No, but don't they want him to leave? Like he's
well
not
now
talented.
They do. Yeah, that was a pretty dumb move. Like, why wouldn't you have gone into this summer with him as a restricted free agent with teams with no cap room?
By the way, if you're going to go back and make that trade again, like I would just do Jimmy Butler for Wiggins straight up.
Well, actually, I think Zach LaVine might be a better player.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I was thinking like they do the same thing basically.
Yeah.
And back then you didn't know. I mean there was less of a indication that Wiggins was really going to just continue to decline.
Yeah.
But anyways, we're getting off track. Yeah. Let's get back to
so Bates D. I'm excited for him. One of the more accomplished guys in the draft, and I played great at Ohio State, and also, that team desperately needs wings. So he could be good for them. So
could
I
be.
Mean, they were literally giving Shabazz Muhammad minutes in the playoffs. So
I'm sad.
Yeah, who's one of the worst? Well, no, Milwaukee was. Never mind. I'm trying to remember who they were given minutes to, but yeah. So it should be interesting to see what happens. But yeah, I feel like you guys feel like we can start grading the draft.
I think so. I mean, we're up to what pick 50. So
yeah, So let me pull this up by team. So, just knee-jerk, Eli, who did you think had a good draft? Did we lose
Eli?
I
think the Mavs had a great draft.
Oh, I would 100% agree with you.
I still can't believe they got basically the best player in the draft and all they had to... I mean, of course they have to give up that first-round pick in the future, but I think taking Luka and giving him an year with Dirk Nowitzki for a year, I think that's just going to accelerate his process, and he's going to be probably, I mean, his floor is so high because he has so much experience, but he has a ceiling. I mean, he has a pretty high ceiling, too. He's a young guy, and he's only going to get more athletic. It's not like he's an old stiff out there. So I think the Mavs are the big winner.
Yeah, I'll agree with you, and I actually love their second-round pick in that they took another point guard in Jalen Brunson, who I think is probably... They got two guys can literally come in and play right away because I think Jalen Brunson probably not going to be an all-star, but probably will be in the league for 8-9 years as, you know, a solid point guard and probably a backup, but still could be... pretty darn good player. So yeah, I love that. I love their draft.
You know who Brunson reminds me of?
Who?
He reminds me of like Fred Van Fleet a little bit.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. I actually think he's a better guard than Van Vliet. Just, he kind of is, his assist to turnover ratio is amazing. He's really takes care of the ball well. He's definitely a half court, more of a half court player, especially in the NBA, but yeah, a guy that, yeah, super solid, not overly athletic. I think that was the comparison on, that was one of Chauncey's NBA comparisons. So, Phoenix Suns, I thought had a fantastic draft. Everybody
good
thought
for
they
the worst team in the NBA.
Huh? Well, yeah, but everybody, and they had four draft picks.
No, I'm saying like normally you're the worst team in the NBA and you make questionable choices, and yeah, they didn't.
I actually think they should have taken Doncic, but
I don't know. I think you guys are all way too high on Doncic.
Yeah, well, you could be right. He does seem a little stiff when I watch him play. But and Ayton, everybody loves him. I kind of think motor's going to be an issue, and also I don't love a guy playing right down the road from where he grew up.
Yeah. I don't know. It can go either way, I think. But I think I said before, like, Ayton reminds me kind of the dude in Minnesota.
Yeah. But the other side of that is they got Mikal Bridges,
which was a steal.
An absolute steal. I mean, you look at who they're starting. They're going to start Booker. They're going to start Bridges, Ayton, and they've got some decent bench players. They can get, you know, one or two and Jackson.
Well, and they got Okobo with the first pick of the second round.
Yeah, like they have.
He's a pretty nice point guard.
Yeah, they have a lot of players that, like, literally, they probably have their starting lineup in the last 2-3 years.
Yeah,
that they've probably drafted. They need a power forward, but they got a lot of guys that can do that. On that, I mean, Dragan Bender's been playing center for them, so he can certainly move to the four.
What do you guys think about Atlanta's draft with the next generation Splash Brothers potential?
So Atlanta got Trae Young, and then Kevin Huerter, and then Amari Spellman, and then Devontae Graham. I actually, you know what? If you're gonna go for something, then go for it.
Right. Well, I do like Collins. That, you know, he opted in, and I think Dedmon did too.
Yeah, he did. They're certainly gonna have an identity.
A nice mix of players and young guys. I mean,
yeah,
you know, they're going to be an interesting team to watch.
Yeah, who's the? Did they hire a new coach yet?
Yeah, they did.
Who was it?
It's a really young guy, Lloyd Pierce.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, I certainly think they'll be a team that will be exciting some nights, but. Yeah, they're 2 or 3 years away for sure, and they're going to give up so many points. You're going to be able to score 130 on them on any given night.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're starting Trae Young at the guard and Huerter doesn't look like a defensive stopper, and then, yeah, they're just going to be so young.
They're probably going to trade Schroeder, right? There's no way they're going to keep him.
Yeah, the problem is no one wants Schroeder.
Yeah, and I mean the Bazemore contract is going to be kind of hard to take too.
Ben Worth wants him on his team.
I actually like Baze, but no one else seems to. I actually think Bazemore could be a decent role player, but like I would give up JR for Baze. But
oh, I would too. I think he's
give up JR for just about anything, right?
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. Well, that is true.
But he's like he's sneakily gotten really good at shooting threes, and he plays a better defense than most of the Cavs' wings, so he'd be a good fit.
Yeah, that is true. So you got Memphis, I actually thought, had a really good draft as well. They got Jaren Jackson Jr. in the fourth pick, and then Javon Carter, who a lot of people just think he's a real gamer. And a guy that can put up a lot of points, or, you know, that has a role in the NBA. So, and is a grinder, so both those guys are really going to fit well in Memphis. I mean, both those guys are grindhouse players. So
yeah. I really like Jaren Jackson's game. I think he'll do well there. Although, it'll be interesting to see what they do with, you know, their oft-hurt veterans.
Yeah. Oh, Mike Conley and Paul Gasol?
The other Gasol, Mark.
Or Marc Gasol, yeah.
Yeah. Plus, what do they do now with the mistake they made I can never remember his name, the guy they had coming off the bench.
Oh, Tyreke Evans?
Yeah.
Well, Tyreke Evans is just going to go to the highest bidder. Like, why they didn't trade him last year, kind of no one understands. But, yeah. I mean, whatever. So the Bulls at 5 are drafting, seven. Who drafted 5?
Dallas
drafted, and the Trae Young, So we talked about that. And then 6 was Orlando, who got Mo Bamba.
Another front court player.
Which to me, and then they got Melvin Frazier, small forward, and Jared Vanderbilt, small forward. It's like, does that team have any guards?
Does anybody care about the Uncle Drew movie?
No.
Well, no one cares about the Orlando Magic either. So.
Yeah, no one cares about the Orlando Magic either.
The trailer was just on TV.
I've been seeing it all night.
Is it coming out like this weekend? Like opposite like Jurassic World 2?
And and Day of the Soldado.
Yeah.
Which I can't believe they made a sequel to that.
Well, I can believe it. I mean, the first one actually was a nice surprise hit, but I don't think this one will be.
No, I don't think so either. It looks like high end straight to video. You know what I mean? Like one of those Behind Enemy Lines 4.
Tell you what people are thinking for this weekend here.
What were you saying, EG?
Uncle Drew comes out next week, by the way.
Oh, and it's next week. Yeah, and so does the other one too.
Oh, Soldado. Day of the Soldado?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Smart they ran away.
So Orlando, they've got a lot of guys they're probably looking to trade. Like, if you're the Cavs, Vucevic would be a really nice fit at the 5. But unfortunately,
if you're replacing Kevin Love?
No, if you're replacing Tristan Thompson. But unfortunately, no one's taking Tristan Thompson's contract.
No.
Yeah. So at 7, the Bulls grabbed Wendell Carter Jr., who is a player I hate.
Yeah.
Mainly because I think he's the kind of player that is pretty much obsolete in today's NBA. And then they got Chandler.
He's Al Horford on a good day, or more like Al Jefferson. Where he's just kind of like a, you know, he's got moves around the hoop and can rebound a little, but he's not going to win you any games.
Yeah, he's a good passer, but I don't think, like, he can be a decent bench big or, you know, a okay starter. But, yeah, here's the thing about Al Horford. He was just average for, like, 10 years. Like, he was slightly above average. Like, there's the no... Bulls, that's his ceiling, slightly above average.
The Bulls, like, need a point guard? Like, why didn't they take
some? No, they got Dunn.
I don't believe in Dunn.
Well, they do.
I don't know why.
Well, he had good advanced metrics numbers last year, but yeah, he can't shoot.
Did you just invoke advanced metrics on me?
I did.
Who you're talking to?
I know exactly who I'm talking to.
You're basically talking to Lionel Hall.
I was just throwing you a big hunk of red meat.
Yeah, you were. That's just a wrong thing to say to me.
But then I said he can't shoot. So.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, well, not that Sexton can shoot yet either, but...
Yeah.
I do think they would have taken Trae Young if he was there.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I don't know. Could have been.
If I'm them, I would have also taken Mikal Bridges. I mean, or Miles Bridges. I would take one of the Bridges instead of.
Yeah, you would have taken Mikal Bridges over Sexton.
Me personally.
Yeah.
So that's just it. I think if LeBron stays, I would have taken Mikal.
Yeah.
because he's a pure 3-and-D guy who will help the team
now.
Help the team immediately. I think Sexton's is going to be a really nice player, and I think he'll be able to help some. But I don't think I think the shooting will be an issue.
So Dallas got Shake Milton too, which is nice. another really nice pick.
Well, it's about time Dallas started turning things around, right? I mean,
yeah,
they haven't really been good since 2011.
Yeah,
watch them get like a DeMarcus Cousins or Clint Capella or something this offseason.
They've talked about it, although I really think that and from everything I hear out here, I really believe that DeMarcus is the backup plan if they can't get LeBron.
Oh yeah, I've heard that too. And just
would they bring back IT to balance out the height?
Oh my god,
they have to. The former Kings will be reunited.
Oh my god, that this is IT and Cousins on the same team.
Again.
This is gonna be so great.
Again.
It's so fantastic.
I don't know. I every time I wanna like even think about like, well, maybe, I just keep going back to what you said before, Nate, which is I really have a strong feeling that Paul George is gonna re-up with OKC.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's in a million years the Spurs will ever trade Kawhi to LA.
Yeah.
So who's LeBron going with?
Exactly.
Unless Houston doesn't decide to max Chris Paul and he decides to bolt and team up with LeBron there. Because I could see LeBron doing that.
And just in like, LA? Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think Houston would take... If they had to do a, you know, like a sign and trade, they'd probably take like Lonzo and, you know, somebody else to make that happen. But who knows?
Lonzo, yeah. So who picked after the Cavs?
The Knicks. They took Kevin Knox.
They took the unpopular Kevin Knox.
You know, honestly, I like Kevin Knox, but I thought the Knicks should have just gone all in on Porter, and Porter and Porzingis could have just taken half the season off and then come on strong and then give him hope for next
year. Well, here's the thing, though. If you're tanking, that's exactly how Philly got into the position they're in now. You know what I mean? Like, if you're tanking, taking these high picks and then stinking the next year is, and then getting more high picks is kind of how you how you accumulate all that. So it wouldn't have been the worst decision. But yeah, they got Kevin Knox, and then they made the trade for Mitchell Robinson. I can't remember who they got back in that deal. Oh no, they took Mitchell Robinson from. Who was he from?
Kobe Altman just got interviewed. Man, the Cavs aren't going to make anyone feel great if you're on the Sexton isn't a good pick. Because they keep saying, like, he's a fiery guy, competitive, work ethic. They should talk about his, like, speed and athleticism at the minimum when they ask about him.
Well, to me, it's a total Spurs pick. Like, you're taking a guy with an NBA body, NBA athleticism, and you are assuming that you can teach him these other things that he doesn't have right now. You know, that's an assumption, but... He certainly seems like he could pick that up. So he doesn't come across as Jordan Clarkson level dumb. I'm sorry, low basketball IQ. So yeah, the Knicks, I wasn't overly impressed with their draft. Who went after the Knicks? That was the weird Charlotte drafting for...
It was Bridges to Philly.
Oh. Yeah.
Bridges to Philly, which seemed normal for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, and then
the whole trade.
Yeah, weird. And then after that, it was the weird Charlotte's going to take a guy and then trade him to the team behind them. They took
Gilgeous Alexander.
And then traded him to the Clippers.
Miles Bridges.
For Miles Bridges, which actually I kind of like Miles Bridges, but he's...
Well, the Clippers have a whole new backcourt now.
Yeah, but Miles Bridges to me is a guy who has a ceiling as a solid starter on a team full of mediocre bigs. And yeah. They have more mediocre bigs now. Yay.
The Hornets have like five wings that are all role players, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like Batum, MKG,
which means
Marvin Williams, Jeremy Lamb, and then they don't have a real backup, like a point guard.
Like, they could desperately use another elite wing.
Yeah.
Desperately.
Well, I guess they're going to roll with Kemba, though. I mean, they didn't take his, like, successor. I thought they would have just kept Gilgeous Alexander for that, but it looks like they're going to keep him, and maybe the All-Star game is the reason they want to keep Kemba around.
I guess. That makes no sense to me, but...
Yeah. Well, who knows? They got a lot of... They have a glut of guys that could potentially be traded, so...
Yeah. And if there's somebody that would certainly eat that Batum contract, it's Dan Gilbert. So...
Don't you guys think Batum would be a good fit for the Cavs, though?
I actually think he could be. I've always hated his game. He seems like a guy that shrinks from the moment. But he's a good defender. He's very long, but he's always hurt, and it takes him forever to get over injuries. And for the amount of money he makes, it's kind of ridiculous. I mean, the Cavs could literally end up paying like as much in luxury tax as they're paying in payroll.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but the Clippers actually really like, even though I don't love Gilgeous Alexander, well, it was kind of weird. They took Gilgeous Alexander and then Jerome Robinson right after. I actually kind of like Jerome Robinson. Gilgeous Alexander, to me, seems like this year's Joe Alexander in that he was kind of a total late riser workout warrior. I guess he had really good workouts for a lot of teams. But again, one of the reasons I like the guys the Cavs picked is they graded them based on how they played in actual games and not individual workouts against one or two players. So,
yeah. Well, because that was one of the things that I think McMenamin was saying, that Sexton didn't have the best, like a knockout workout. But then Sexton was saying that he felt like it was his best workout.
Yeah, that was a little scary.
So who knows?
Yeah, who knows? And yeah, I actually thought the Cavs did a really good job of hiding who they wanted to take with the SGA and the
Well, except for Dan Gilbert's comments right after his workout.
Oh well, no, but I mean leading up to the draft.
No, I know what you mean.
Which is funny because everybody's flipping out about the things they're putting out there one or two days before the draft, and it's like literally that is the time that everybody's just throwing up smoke screens. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then...
No, they did a nice job of obfuscating that because there was really no buzz about Sexton the last few days.
Yeah. I actually love Michael Porter Jr. to Denver just because, you know, you're 14... That guy that you normally take there probably isn't going to help you, but that's a total swing for the fences pick.
Well, a lot of it will depend on really on the long, and forget about the short term, like the long term prognosis for his back. I mean, if it's a degenerative situation.
Did either of you guys think he looked stiff just walking up there?
Oh yeah,
like
he needed a cane, and I joked like he probably should have,
just owned it,
full cane, yeah.
Yeah,
but that's, you know, a lot of the people that I've seen that were negative were like, why didn't the Cavs just take swing with the fence and take Porter if they think LeBron's probably gone anyways? Because arguably Porter could have been the number one pick last year if he could have come out of high school. So, you know, he's a talented guy. He's 6'10". He can rebound. He can score. I mean, you know, he's a super talented player, but the back is nothing to trifle with. And, you know, I mean, anytime you see that, it's like, and let's say he's got to miss time this year. Well, that's not exactly the guy that's going to really help you keep LeBron around anyway, so.
Yeah. I totally... here's the thing. I don't think you can roll the dice on a guy like that if you're the Cavs at 8. I mean, take... You just can't afford a guy. There's a 50-50 shot he's never can even play. You know what I mean? I just... with the situation they're in, it just... Denver has so many other good young players that they can afford to take that risk.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, and
we'll see what happens. I mean,
yeah.
I was happier with the pick than I thought I would be going in. So.
Well, and I think part of that was probably, yeah, all the things that could have gone wrong, like we talked about. So the Bucks, well. Troy Brown to the Wizards, I don't think anybody, that's like a meh. Dante DiVincenzo, the big, what is he, the big lasagna, or the big,
big ragu,
yeah.
His Italian mother was there at the draft with him. It was pretty funny.
31 points in the finals, had a great final, probably got into the first round just on the strength of his final game.
I think a few of these guys did.
Yeah, but... he's a solid combo guard, and the big development there is, you know, Matthew Dellavedova might be available now. Of course,
yeah, rumors earlier today that saying that they were actually, Milwaukee was actually looking to trade up and had put Deli on the block as somebody they could. It was like, yeah, that's probably why you didn't trade up. But hey, look, if he's available,
hey, I'd love him on the Cavs. I would give you JR for him right now.
Yep. Lonnie Walker to the Spurs was a home run.
Oh yeah, what a home run. I mean, talk about a guy, lottery talent, for whatever reason fell, and then just, you know, he's got some knee issues, but if he can stay healthy,
yeah,
that's a monster draft pick for them. Actually, the Spurs, yeah, I thought the Spurs again had a monster draft. Got somebody in the second round I really like too.
Who was that?
I don't know. Oh, never mind. No, I have no idea who Chimeze Metu is from USC.
Oh, that's a draft and stash.
No, he went to USC.
Oh, USC. Never mind.
So I don't know. I mean, it could be.
Who knows?
He may play overseas.
Oh, Mr. Irrelevant is Giannis's brother. Kostas went 60th.
Oh, Kostas Antetokounmpo?
Yeah, Antetokounmpo.
Holy cow, he's enormous.
Well, he's 7'3 wings. Oh, he's Giannis' brother.
Yeah, but he's even bigger than Giannis.
He might be. I don't know if he's as talented. Yeah, he's
6'11. Can't wait for him and IT to hook up.
He's 6'11, 195 pounds.
I got to think he's a draft and stash. I got to think they're going to want him to play overseas.
Well, he played at Dayton.
Yeah, well, and his brother plays, Thanasis plays at in Greece. So. Yeah.
Kostas. Watch him be the best player in the round.
Yeah.
What did you guys think of what's his name? The Tripper, Grayson Allen, to your
house. Oh, great. How perfect was it? I thought he was going to Boston, but Utah is, you know, you mean the 20-year-old clone of I ruined the joke.
Ted Cruz,
yeah. He looks exactly like Ted Cruz.
Did you see the video? And they showed it. They played it after he did the interview with
Jimmy Kimmel?
With Donovan Mitchell.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Of them getting into
like,
it.
Oh, yeah. And then them getting into it, or Mitchell like hit him in the face.
Well, did you see the look on Donovan Mitchell's face when they drafted him?
Yeah.
He was like, oh, you got to be kidding
this
me.
This guy.
The Tripper. Yeah.
But, like, I didn't get the Sixers taking Landry Shamet at 26. He felt like a second rounder to me.
The Sixers had a weird draft.
Yeah.
Like, and you got to think that not all those guys are going to play for them.
Yeah.
Like, there's such a thing as having too many draft picks in a draft.
Well, they won't if they want a clear space for LeBron. That's for sure.
No, they won't. Yeah. Yeah, Grayson Allen.
I don't know anything about Moritz Wagner. I didn't watch a lot of Michigan games, so.
Oh, he's a big who can shoot, basically. What?
Yeah. Just one quick fact. Not a single player, veteran NBA player, was traded in this NBA draft.
Is that like a first for a long time?
It's first in like at least 6 years, according to this tweet I just saw.
Yeah, to me, part of the problem is...
Are they not counting Dwight Howard sort of in the window, or...?
Yeah.
I think it's during the draft.
Okay. Yeah, to me, the biggest problem with NBA free agency and all that right now is LeBron is the big domino. And until LeBron decides what he's doing, which may not happen if he goes to free agency, it may not happen till like a few days at... Like, this might be the quietest opening of free agency in a long time.
I don't know. Depends.
For the contenders.
No. If Paul George commits on midnight of that and says, I'm going back to OKC on a 1+1 or a 2-year, or I'm signing the max with OKC, who knows? I'm sure that won't happen. But so let's say he does a 1+1. I kind of feel like that's the domino. Because then all of a sudden, like... at least one, probably two, because of the Kawhi situation, of the guys that would have joined LeBron in LA are no longer coming.
Yeah.
So then what are you left with, right?
On top of that, there's like only four teams that have max cap space.
Yeah, everybody's opting in, which they weren't doing before.
Yeah.
I mean, Austin Rivers just opted in.
Dwayne Dedman opted in.
This is how bad it is. Austin Rivers opted in, and his dad's the head coach. Like, even his dad wasn't going to pay him if he opted out.
I think the only guy, didn't your buddy Kylo Quinn opt out?
He did, but he's on a contract. Like, he could get a good portion of the mid-level, and he's only making $4.1 million now.
I've already heard that Golden State was eyeballing him.
He would be a really good pick for them.
Of course he would.
I really hope Dwight goes to Golden State.
That's never Golden State. Steve Kerr won't let that happen.
Destroy him from the inside.
I love it. So the Pacers, Aaron Holiday, I thought was a really good draft pick.
I don't know. I can't tell him apart from the other Holidays.
That's just why it's a good draft pick, because the other Holiday is really good.
True.
Wait, you mean the other Holidays?
Doesn't the other one play for the Bulls?
Yeah, and
Justin.
Yeah, and always and killed us in summer league and in the preseason last year. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Portland and Anfernee Simmons, who is a guy that didn't even come out.
He's a high school kid, right?
But he sat out a whole year.
Well, because he committed to Louisville and then he said he didn't want to go there after the whole scandal, right?
Yeah. So who knows what they're getting there? They could be getting a really good player, or you know, but it's certainly not going to help them this year. You got to think.
I really want to see. I think I posted that. I really want to see the Holidays play the
Zellers.
Zellers on
Family. Yeah, but the Holidays are all guards, and the Zellers are all stiffs.
Doesn't matter. Like,
half court, I'd take the Zellers. No, full court, I'd take the Holidays.
Family Feud. NBA Family Feud.
What about the Plumleys?
Or the
Zellers. Or the Zellers.
The Zellers.
Or the Lopez's.
The Holidays versus the Zellers. There's only two Lopez's, though. You need three.
For 3-on-3?
Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah. So, yeah, you were saying Landry Shamet. I don't understand that pick. Moritz Wagner... People like it, but that was like the worst kept secret. Like, I heard that a week ago that he was going to the Lakers. So yeah. I think everybody kind of was pretty convinced he had a promise there. The Celtics getting Robert Williams, and who else did they get? No, they just got Robert Williams. I mean, that's an okay draft pick for who they picked. I don't think he's going to be any good. I think the age of these offensively challenged big men is fast dying.
Yeah, but he'll replace, like you say, Monroe off the bench or Baines in the starting lineup. They just need somebody who can help block shots and get rebounds. Yeah. Those have always been their two biggest deficiency areas.
Yeah, and the guy that Golden State drafted, what's his name from Cincinnati?
Oh yeah,
Jacob Evans.
Jacob Evans. Yeah, he seems okay, but the best one was, well, he's instantly better than Swaggy P. So they're probably,
well, after right Swaggy P it. Was telling people they should all do cocaine, I'm sure he probably won't back.
Yeah, what the hell?
In the Bay Area.
Yeah, that just seems.
But see, he's got his ring now. Like he didn't care. Swaggy P.
Yeah, he's sniffing coke off his ring right now.
Exactly. Or other unsavory places.
Actually, Brooklyn with Zanon Musa.
You can't even say the name.
With Dick Scott.
Dick Scott. No, I'm saying, like, this is what they took two guys, like one guy from Bosnia Herzegovina, and then the next guy they took was from Latvia.
Yeah. Well, they're probably good. I mean,
only Ben Worth would know.
their GM came from the Spurs system. So, and this was actually a draft where the first round was noticeably short on foreign guys. So, I think the domestic guys were so good. So, yeah. Well, and I actually like Hamadou Diallo's got a lot of upside. So,
I feel like a lot of the foreign guys, though, more and more are like coming to the States to do that, to do the one and done college.
Yeah.
So that sort of cut down on the number of.
Yeah.
Technically, and then, foreign players, even though there's a lot of them.
Yeah, and then they're getting exposed a little bit.
Yeah.
Some of them. But, I mean, you also look about Doncic could change everything, too. Actually, yeah, we'll see.
Well, playing for Dallas with those guys around him, maybe.
Yeah. So.
And they got picked up some nice players. And they had some nice players from last year, too.
Yeah. Knee jerk EG, who had the best draft?
Well, it's funny. It changed because I would have said Philly if they'd have held on to Mikal Bridges.
Yeah.
Just because that was like a piece they needed. Like for a team that doesn't need a lot of pieces still, like that would have been a great piece for them. And it would have made them, I think, probably my favorite to win the East if LeBron moves on. But, I mean, look, Phoenix did a really nice job for where they were. I mean, obviously, it's hard to screw up the number one pick unless you're the Cavs. So, yeah, I don't know. Those would be my picks, I think. And I really liked what Atlanta did, too.
Yeah. Who had the worst... To you.
To me?
Like, who just totally, like, made no sense? Philly?
Either Orlando or the Bulls.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least Philly got, like, Zaire Smith back for...
Yeah, that's true.
Mikal Bridges, and they... I mean, I didn't get their later picks, but I don't think they matter.
Yeah, well, they drafted Kyrie Thomas, but they traded him to Detroit, which actually I think is a nice pickup
for Detroit.
That's a nice
place for him, too.
Yeah, and Detroit didn't have a pick, so...
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, but look, Orlando drafted another big man on a team that's full of them, and the Bulls drafted kind of a dinosaur big man on a team that where they really still need, they still need good athletic players.
Yeah, no, I'll agree with you on the Bulls. It just makes no sense. What about you, Eli? Who do you think... Who made a leap?
Well, earlier I said the Mavs.
Are you sticking with them?
I'm sticking with the Mavs as probably the most improved team today, considering their positioning and whatnot.
And who just totally boned it up?
Man, I don't want to piggyback too much off of EG's, but I think... For me, I think it probably is the Bulls. Wendell Carter's fit in today's NBA is just really hard to stomach, and especially after they drafted Markkanen last year.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to keep drafting, you know, fours and fives in today's NBA, and I think they should have gone for Porter or...
Or Mikal Bridges. Mikal Bridges would have been so perfect for them.
Yeah, I mean, he would have helped, you know, Dunn.
He would have helped everybody. Space the floor. Yeah, play defense. Like, that to me... Like, Mikal Bridges is probably the biggest overthink in the first 11 picks or whatever. Well, even for Philly, it was an overthink. Like, just take the guy who can put the ball in the basket. Yeah. You know. Or, to me... I'm trying to look and see who I just thought had a really terrible draft. I thought the Bulls were right up there. I'm going to go with Charlotte, just kind of doubling down on, you know, crazy shooters. I think you can get away with that if you get... See, one of the things that worked out for... Golden State was they had really good other draft picks, guys that could play defense and guys that could like the one thing about Klay Thompson, he was big and could play defense, and then they also got Draymond Green. I don't see them getting any of those other guys. So I mean, and maybe they did, you know, maybe Amari Spellman is that guy. Maybe Devontae Graham can help them there, but I mean, I just don't see them having enough guys that can win basketball games and not just put the ball in the basket. So,
who are you talking about? Atlanta?
Atlanta, yeah.
Yeah, but I think they're years away. I mean, they're, you know, as far as just like having a nice, nice young core that can grow together, like,
So now that he's not on the Cavs, I can hate Trae Young again and think that he's not going to be that good.
No, but I feel like that's going to be a good situation for him because there's going to be no expectations.
Yeah, there's no pressure. Yeah,
like if the Cavs had drafted Trae Young, like, and LeBron decided to stay, that's ultimate pressure instantly.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's like that's not this year with Baker Mayfield, but like last year with Deshaun Kaiser level pressure to say like, okay, save this team, you know? So I don't know. I feel like Trae Young in the backcourt with Herter and with the good young man, I really like John Collins up front, you know?
Schroeder's not going anywhere right now, so, you know, he could be coming off the bench to start. So
yeah, but who's the other guy they had? That was Taurean Prince. He was pretty good last year. I feel like they've got some good young pieces to work with. Yep. I mean, look, Atlanta's future looks brighter than it has since they won 60 games. So
yeah.
Yeah, one team that I think is a little overlooked is the Wizards. I actually really didn't like their pick in the
first
round either.
Troy Brown.
Yeah, I'm not a Troy Brown fan.
Yeah, I'm not a Troy Brown fan either. And
they should have taken Lonnie Walker instead if they wanted a combo guard. And
yeah, they had
it's
Lonnie
just,
Walker.
It's just oversight.
Yeah, or Zaire Smith.
Yeah.
I mean, Troy Brown is just kind of like a meh. Yeah.
Or Kevin Herter. Talk about, you know.
Or a guy that can shoot, that can help you. Yeah.
He's just like a clone of the worst qualities of Beal and Wall to get put together.
Yeah. Actually, I like Beal a lot as a player, but Wall definitely has some bad qualities. Yeah, no, I think that's a good loser column. And Orlando is a head scratcher too, but they're going to be bad for a long time. So, yeah, I definitely think there's going to be teams just looking to totally walk away from certain contracts, and I feel like George Hill and JR are going to have value. Because teams, especially if those contracts have 2 or 3 or even 4 years left on them, because...
George Hill might. I don't think JR will.
I think JR will because it's basically an expiring. I mean, it's got a $4 million buyout next year, but for a big contract, for a guy like Bazemore. Like Bazemore or something like that, you would totally take that.
I don't know.
Would you guys do like a... JR and Korver for Batum deal or no?
Not Korver.
Straight up? No.
What would you? I mean, Batum is a really bad contract because it's like 3 years. And
I would do Batum million. If you're getting another player. If you're getting Kemba Walker, even though I'm not a huge Kemba Walker fan.
I think it's pretty clear the Cavs are going to get rid of George Hill or Clarkson this offseason. They just can't roll with those three point guards, right?
Well, it all depends on what LeBron does. I mean, I actually agree with Ben that you can play George Hill. I think a whole season in an offense would be helpful. But, yeah, Carter is – or not Carter, Clarkson is worthless. So, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, if you get somebody to take Clarkson, great. Maybe JR and Clarkson for Batum, I would do that deal. I would take the long-term salary. I mean, if you're tanking, Clarkson is a great point guard for you. Look at the Lakers. So.
Well, so do we consensus feel like this draft had an impact for LeBron to stick around, and not an impact for him to stick around, or just kind of like meh, inconsequential?
Eli, you're the most passionate about this.
Sorry, could you repeat the question? I just had a. I was listening to R.C. Buford saying that he plans on keeping Kawhi.
Wow.
Oh, then he's going to be keeping him on the bench. No, Eli, my question was, do you feel like this, the way this draft went down had a positive impact on LeBron, no impact on LeBron, or just kind of meh, like inconsequential?
I think it's positive because I think LeBron is hinting he doesn't want to bring up the ball every time, and he doesn't want to be the only playmaker. And I think I think the biggest thing he could do for LeBron is just be a guy that LeBron is willing to trust to bring up the ball and attack the basket. I know a lot of people dog on Sexton because he can't shoot, but in the finals, we had lineups with Kevin Love, Korver. Yeah. We had shooters all around, and we couldn't get open shots in.
Right, and so, they couldn't shoot, and they couldn't hit them when they were open. So, yeah, that's a good point.
So I think it's like you have to find a different way to attack, and maybe you – you know, having the Kyrie was so valuable because not only because was he a good shooter, he could also attack the basket. Right. So I think, obviously, I'm not saying Sexton is near the level of Kyrie at all. But, you know, George Hill and Clarkson aren't going to be putting their heads in and driving to the hoop as effectively as Kyrie ever was going to. So I think this is a positive move. I don't think it's going to be like the deal changing, like I'm staying for sure for LeBron, but it's a piece that will help LeBron stay, in my opinion.
Yeah, one of the I think it was CLF, I can't, or CHF, I can't remember
how it's CLF,
he,
yeah.
He said that Sexton Osman backcourt is going to be a terror defensively. And I totally agree with that. And then you put Larry Nance in that, and you know, if you put, yeah, there's not a lot of shooting in that lineup, but that's definitely a lineup that can generate turnovers and get out and run. And you maybe you put LeBron on that lineup, and then you add a Korver, and that is a lineup that can absolutely get up and down the court, and Korver can hit the three on trail in the break. So
yeah, look, truth be told, I'm still like I said before, I'm going to stick to the LeBron staying until he doesn't and proves me wrong. But if he were to leave, I really hope they do bring in another coach because somebody who can actually develop young talent and trust them. And who knows, maybe Ty Lue can do that if he's got the onus of hey, I can just put LeBron out there for 48 minutes a game and go in his games, Bron. Like, who knows? Maybe he's got it. He's still a young coach. Maybe he's got it within him. I tend to doubt it, you know, and I think they'd be better off going and finding, you know, a younger coach. I mean, it's too bad Fizdale's already taken. But
hey, you know what? Maybe the coach they should have is already on the bench.
Who, Larry Drew?
No, Damon Jones.
Come on.
Soup's up.
Come on.
Chicken serious? Tortilla himself.
No, but you know what I mean. Like, I it just seems like that if they're gonna have a team where it's they're gonna run Sexton and Jetty in the backcourt and Larry Nance up front alongside of Kevin Love, they decide they really don't want to get rid of him and you know another young guy or Tristan, and you know, because they gotta keep him around. Like, kind of want that, you know, or maybe they finally turn Zizic loose, who's still only 21 and obviously has shown some offensive ability when he's around the hoop. So, you know, look, if you say, hey, we're just going to go all in and play these guys and try to just play team ball and defend really well and try to be the Nets of this past year, you know, where they're scrappy enough to surprise teams on certain nights and string some wins together, then it just doesn't feel like you're going to get that out of a Ty Lue coached team. So, you know, might be time to reevaluate that if LeBron does move on.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, I think Corey has said, and a lot of people have said, you know, Ty Lue isn't walking away from $21 million.
Oh, so no, they'd have to dismiss him. Like, he's not quitting.
No, exactly. So, and I wish they could find a way to dismiss him, but. Yeah, it's not happening anytime
soon. Doesn't seem likely.
Yeah. So so the 29th is the deadline, which is 1 week from today.
Yeah.
So we will probably have a lot more information a week from now. And so probably
one would assume. Although we may only know that he's either opting in or out of the.
Well, if he's opting in, then something's different.
Well, if he's opting in, then it is either I'm gonna delay it by a year, or I'm opting in for a trade, right?
Yep.
And if he opts out, then his options are wide open, which seems like that'll be the case. Like,
see, to me, he's only opting in if he's taking a trade. Because if he's opting out, he'll just sign another, and he only wants to stay another year, he'll just sign another 1+1.
Right. That's true.
You know, protect himself that extra year from injury. So
yeah, but this is, correct me if I'm wrong, this is the last year he can get the 5
supermax,
right?
Yeah,
from anybody.
Yep, the over the Cavs, 38 rule is in effect.
Right, because if he opted in and got traded, I think he could still get the max from whatever team he goes to.
Yeah, that's correct.
Right, but still only 4 years.
Plus, he'd also want to do that to keep his no trade.
Right.
In place, yep.
Right, so it doesn't seem like he'd do another 1+1. Unless he just doesn't care about signing a max ever.
Yeah, he may not. Who knows? George Hill, or not George Hill, Paul George may not.
Yeah,
but they may not. We'll see what happens. So do you, any big shakeups you see in the NBA not revolving around that in the next few weeks? You feel like the Mavericks might make a move?
For what, though? Like, they've already made so many.
They could still sign a big. I mean, a lot of people are saying DeAndre Jordan or... who was the other name I heard? Randall Carter. Not Randall Carter. Randall from the Lakers.
Oh, right.
I am so bad with names.
I don't think he's unrestricted.
He's restricted.
He's restricted.
But a lot of people think that they're not going to want to high up their cap.
Right.
It's possible. Even for next year.
It's possible. I mean, I guess if Boogie wasn't injured, maybe.
Yeah, I don't think Dallas is dumb enough to spend money on Boogie. I do not trust a guy that big with an Achilles issue.
Oh, no. I don't think he'll be the same this whole...
Yeah, you looked at what Elton Brand was after his Achilles injury, and he was older, but still, he was just never the same player.
Well, it unfortunately takes away a lot of what makes Boogie unique.
Yeah.
You know, his ability to... His just the moves he can make and his lateral quickness.
For a guy of that size, yeah.
Yeah, so... It's it'll be tough.
But it will be tough.
I don't know. I don't think so. I think, you know, the only other thing that could happen that would affect the dominoes is Paul George re-upping with OKC or saying he's going to on the 29th.
Yeah. What about Toronto? Do you think they'll blow it up or do you think they'll try to contend while rebuilding?
I think they should.
Should do what?
Blow it up.
Yeah. Oh, I agree with you. I mean,
I thought they should have blown it up last year.
I would love to see Kyle Lowry. You totally talked me into Kyle Lowry on the Cavs.
Yeah. By the way, they could still do it. They could still do it.
Oh, absolutely.
Toronto came to and said, okay, so trade us Sexton and, you know, Sexton and George Hill for Kyle. I think there's a chance they could do that.
I totally agree with you.
If they knew LeBron if they knew that would keep LeBron around, having
and then the other side of that being DeMar DeRozan could go to LA.
He could.
Which I could totally see.
Although I don't think DeMar DeRozan would be that piece that would get LeBron excited about going to LA.
No. I think that would be part of the consolation package.
Oh, I see what you mean. Like he goes to LA along with
Boogie Cousins. Yeah.
Right. Although I think they'd keep him. I think because think about it. Like if you could get basically the young version of Lowry who still needs to learn how to shoot in Sexton, mm-hmm. and George Hill to hold it down for a year. And with all those younger guys they have around him, like, I mean, OG Anunoby, and, you know, if they wind up re-signing Van Vliet and, you know, some of those guys they have off the bench, I could see them making another run at that.
Well, they could certainly be a playoff team for sure.
Yeah.
Because Van Vliet would probably become the starting point guard in that case.
Right.
Yeah.
Or again, like, I think he'd be the sixth man and you'd have George Hill be your starter.
For 15 Although, I don't love... I actually like George Hill still on this team. If they move George Hill, or if they move Sexton, I'd much rather see a JR and someone else go out, but that's probably not possible. Nobody wants to eat Jordan Clarkson or Tristan Thompson's contract.
They're just showing Sexton talking again, like after he got picked and the message he had for LeBron. I mean, I don't know. I like that kid.
Let's get to the finals again.
Yeah.
I love that attitude. I mean, be
aggressive.
The Cavs are in desperate need of energy, and he can give them that. So
yeah.
I'm excited.
Me too.
And I'm excited to see the player he becomes because, you know, like a lot of these guys is not fully formed, but I think that he has as much upside as anybody in that draft.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it should be a fun... I think that was a loaded draft, and I think you'll see a lot of those guys in the league for a long time. So
I think so, too, including guys in the second round.
Oh, absolutely. I think there's undrafted guys that... will make teams this year. The Cavs will probably have one.
We can only hope.
Yeah. And hope that he's taller than 5'7".
All right.
Okay, well, as always.
Let's wrap. We'll wrap this up for tonight, but...
anything you want to pitch, EG?
No, I've had my fill after this draft. I'm good. I'm good for a little while. I think I'm getting ready to. I have one last. I think push, good strong push in me to get through free agency.
And then you're taking a Cavalier break. I'm
gonna take a Cavalier break.
Yeah.
Until we maybe see Sexton play in summer league.
Yeah. What about you, Eli? Anything you want to pitch?
So lately I've been trying the whole brewery stuff in Columbus in my free time.
Columbus got a lot of great breweries.
Yep, so I have a new favorite beer, and it's local. It's with Wolf Ridge Brewing Company.
Oh, nice. They got some good stuff.
And my new favorite beer is their Dire Wolf, which is an Imperial Stout.
Nice. So
that's what I want to shout out. I'm not a big IPA guy, per se, so I'm glad I found something else that I like from them, because they have a bunch of IPAs, but... that's kind of my shout-out.
Yeah, and I'm going to pitch
David Wood with
this Jackson brewery called Royal Docks Brewing, which is like I said, out of Jackson Township here, and it's Backyard Crusher, which is a nice hoppy, citrusy, limey, you know, summer beer, about sessionable, kind of an IPA, kind of a pale, kind of a Citra, so, but a little cloudier than that, so it's a good good lawnmower beer, so,
nice,
with a little bit of bite to it, so. Nice. And as far as music, go check out the new Nico Case, my album of the year so far. Oh. Album's called Hell On. And
there's a new one out. I have to go check it out.
Yeah, and the movies, I haven't gotten to the movies in a bit, so I'm looking forward to seeing The Incredibles 2 this weekend.
Oh, I saw it. It's really good.
Yeah, I heard it's really good.
I have a different opinion, but I saw it already, too.
Okay, well, no spoilers. We'll, after I see it, we'll have to talk it over.
That's fine. We can save that for the next pod, yeah.
Yeah.
If you want to see a scary movie, go see Hereditary.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I still have to see the No Talking movie or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah, Quiet Place. Yeah, definitely see that first.
Cool. Hey, did you see... I want to ask your opinion on a movie. Did you see Annihilation?
Yes.
Did you like it?
I thought it was fine.
Okay.
No, I can explain. Like, I thought... I thought that the movie he made just before that, you know, with Ex Machina was
much
was
better.
Such a great debut film, and I felt like this one was just fine. Like, it just kind of came up a little bit short. It was that
good,
that
not
sophomore
great.
That sophomore letdown, so to
sophomore
speak.
Sophomore jinx.
I don't have any. I think his next ones will be great too. But I don't know. This was just one of those like, yeah, not your best work. So.
Okay.
So basically, E.G. says she's very nice.
Yeah, it's not quite.
She
the
has
New York
a great
Knicks,
personality.
It's not quite the New York Knicks thumbs down to Kevin Knox tonight. But
that kid was so great.
Yeah.
Yeah, but and can we talk about SGA's? Like, who did you think had the best suit? Because you and I.
Ugh.
It
would look like a tinfoil suit.
I know. So
I just loved. I loved the inside of Sexton's suit. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Check it out. It's online.
Oh, okay. Yeah, totally. I checked that. I love that he was like wearing a wine tuxedo.
Oh yeah, but it was like way early in the thread. But I posted it. It was like a mural of him on the inside of the jacket. It was cool.
Nice. I'll check that out. And
Shorty's wine suit, his LeBron suit.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, with the shorts like LeBron did in Game 7.
Oh, okay, nice.
Yeah,
think he knew he was going to the Cavs.
I think he thought there was a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, between that and the wine tux.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Well, as always,
go Cavs.
Go Cavs.
Go Cavs.
All right.
Thank you for listening to Cavs the Blogs podcast. Check back soon for some more fun with your favorite bloggers.